Here's the book I was looking for. It's the one that you said I should ignore. Here's the song, it's the song I used to sing long before you came and changed everything.
Comic Pop Library. We're still at the Kansas Library Conference, the 2013 annual conference for librarians. We've been speaking with Rob Banks, and he's been with us. He's the KLA representative for the Kansas Library Association, and we've been discussing about the community, and he was wanting to get further involved in what the ALA has to offer the communities within Kansas. So we'll give Rob an opportunity to go more into the other avenues that ALA can help.
Sure, thank you. There's a few things coming up that are, of course, open to Kansans. One of them that most of you are probably aware of, YALSA, which is the Young Adult Library Association, that's a division of ALA. Teen Read Week is next week, October 13th through 19th. And there's lots of stuff on the website about that. There's a lot of things going on. YALSA is a group that I'm connected with, and they've always got fun things planned and lots of innovative and exciting stuff going on. So I certainly encourage everybody to be involved with Teen Read Week. Getting home after KLA, you're probably exhausted, and it's probably the last thing you want to do is get a program going. But, you know, it doesn't have to be anything great, huge, formal, planned, all kinds of, a lot of effort. You can just kind of make sure teens are aware of stuff, and is there a cool book or is there a cool movie that you've just gotten recently that they might not know about, and you can get them involved in that. So I just encourage everybody to take an active role in that as much as they can, and enjoy it. It can be a lot of fun.
Right. And we've had C. Michael Hall join us as well at the table. Thank you for joining us, Michael. One of the things with the YALSA, what we've done is kind of maybe not non-traditional, but we've actually backed up our Teen Read Week to coordinate with Halloween.
Yeah, great.
And we just combined that. And in the past few years, we're Comic Pop Library. I'm big into the comic book area.
Yeah.
And they do, kind of like in May, they have a free comic book day that we support in our library. They're starting to do that for Halloween, too. Mm-hmm. And this year, I purchased 150 copies of a specific one that was based off of a book, and we're placing, you know, about 75 in one district, 75 in another district, and the rest at our library, with signs saying there's going to be additional books at our library to come into. So that's one of the things that we're kind of deviating a little bit from ALA, but we're taking their idea and doing it within our community.
So that's a fantastic thing to do, and you know, they do set these weeks up so that we can kind of coordinate and have things going on nationally, but I think it's really exciting when you've got an opportunity to move it to a more relevant time for your library. That's a great thing to do. So
I think doing activities would be cool. Like Jenny mentioned in part one about how they do like a mini version, like a mini golf in their library sometimes, and there's people have started doing Monopoly on the actual block. And
yeah.
Or like a scavenger, I don't know, just something to get, I don't know, them into the library, noticing the library. Maybe have book-related stuff, just something fun for the community to do. Well,
and I think it's such a great thing that you're doing all the comic book stuff, because there's some really fantastic work out there with great graphics and good stories, and it's new, creative, innovative kind of stuff. And I certainly know I read a ton of comic books when I was a teen, and you know, I haven't read as many lately as I should, because there's a lot of great stuff out there. But it's an excellent way to get the kids into reading, maybe
right.
when they've gotten out, because at least for this old man looking at them, they look fun. Well, they look interesting. They're,
well, for two other old men at this table, we grew up with comic books. We're just so used to it, and they've matured with us. So
yeah.
there is some stuff for the kids, but the bulk of it is for the higher teenagers and adults.
Yeah.
And they do have interesting stories. And most people don't realize a lot of movies that are coming out are adaptations
of
graphic novels.
Yeah.
And it's kind of interesting.
That's a terrific way to transition younger readers who are maybe not necessarily, they haven't grown up with comics the way those of us in certain generations did. But now that they've got these film franchises and these TV properties, it's a great way to just get them to interacting with the page again.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's a wonderful transition in traditional literature, too.
Yeah, and I see a lot of stuff on social media about it, too, where people are talking about comics that have come out and characters and storylines, and it really just blossoms out, I think, all over. And you can visit within your library and your community, but you can also with people around the world on the same stuff, which is kind of cool.
You're making Michael happy now.
Yeah.
He's in the industry. He's in the industry. So yeah, he's getting a double whammy here saying, oh, thank you.
I'm a complete insomniac, so I actually have time for two careers. I'm a librarian and a cartoonist.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah.
Yeah, there's some really amazing cartoon work being put out in these new books.
I can draw trees.
We had Joe Budler, the Kansas State librarian. Would you like to come and join us at the table and visit with us? We're just doing a round table here, so. And if you want, you can use headphones or without headphones. It's up to you. And
no, I have ears. Thank you.
Besides YALSA, I know ALA has the. Are they part of the Reforma?
Yes, the Reforma things are connected into ALA, and so there's certainly a lot of things going on there. In November, Lita is doing one of their forums. Lita is the technology side of ALA. That's in Louisville, November 7th through 10th. So those are always fun, especially if you're kind of on the geeky side. You really get off on that kind of stuff, and I enjoy their stuff. Another thing that I want to mention for sure is if you go to ala.org, they are calling for volunteers for ALA committees right now. Those forms need to be in by November 1st, so you've still got a couple weeks. You can fill those out. I really encourage people to get involved. If they can get to conferences, it's a great way to get to know people. One of the things I hear from my connections with it is that ALA can be very intimidating because it's so large.
Right.
But if you get involved in committees and things like that, it suddenly reduces that crowd to a lot smaller group, and you get to know people and see them, and then you can stay connected online and Facebook and social media and that kind of stuff. And it makes it less intimidating. And then you go back for your friends because you get to know people and get to enjoy them. And there's some really cool people that are librarians, even if not everybody thinks that. They're librarians are cool people to hang out with, and they love to party.
No, that wouldn't happen.
I don't know what
where we're going
about
tonight. I can't remember. Well, we have to mention that Joe here was honored by ALA. Would you like to mention that, Rob, since you're a representative?
Joe was Librarian of the Year, and we were extremely proud of her for that and all the good things that she contributes. She's very well thought of in the library world and throughout the country.
Well, you're more than welcome to stick around and visit with us.
Okay.
Like I said, this is a round table. If you want to join in, you're more than welcome to stay. If you have to go, we understand as well.
I don't have to go right now. I'll hang around for a little bit.
Well, is there anything else with ALA? Make sure you get through everything.
Yeah, just two other dates to remind people. Midwinter is in Philadelphia this year. That's January 24th through 28th. And then annual conference is in Las Vegas.
We don't party at all.
So, not a bit.
I'm expecting huge turnouts at all of the sessions because nobody will have anything else to do. But that should be a really great conference there. And for the public library folks, PLA will be in Indianapolis this next year in March. So okay. Just some dates to look at and see if that works for you. There's lots of exciting things going on. If you do go to Midwinter or go to Annual, let me know you're there, and always try to hook up with folks if we can. If nothing else, just to stop and say hi, but I'm always glad to answer questions. Right. Since I've gone for a lot of years now. I can certainly help people out if they need it. I'm always available.
Very cool.
And Rob, you are our coordinator for ALA Legislative Day as well.
I am. We talked about that while
did
ago.
Did we?
Yes, okay. But thank you for bringing it up again, because we would love to have people. Joe generally goes along on that. And so we'd love to have more than just Joe and I talking to the legislators.
That's right.
So
that's right.
Join us, please.
And are they going to have a virtual one again?
That's my understanding, yes.
Okay,
I
good.
Haven't heard details, but
good,
it's my
good,
understanding
good.
They will.
And you'll get the information out to these guys.
Okay. Good. And technology-wise, it's kind of been a blessing. I mean, it's still emerging on what we can do with the technology, and we're experimenting with our little podcast as well. We're enjoying it. And how has the state library been using the technology and communicating with the librarians in Kansas? Because I know you've been
has
several databases and stuff like that. So
and we still depend for communication. We still depend on the listserv. That's been the greatest way to communicate with people. If you don't mind getting all the freebie offers that come out on it. But we also do a lot with webinars, a lot more than we did even 3 years ago. We've got Blackboard that we actually, you know, this morning or this afternoon, I was talking about the RFP for statewide resource sharing. We will share that with folks over the webinar, the Blackboard webinar tool, and then people will be able to give us input and feedback on things. So we do a lot of training that way, communication.
Okay.
I need to get feedback from people, and it's hard to get it if you don't have a mechanism like that.
Right. And we're one of those small communities where we're taking baby steps.
Yeah.
So it's kind of hard sometimes to do that, but we are striving. We've picked it up more and more digital content, so we're trying to do that for the community.
Good.
And our commissioners have been encouraging us too, so we're slowly getting into the modern age. And I don't know if the larger libraries... You're just kind of a medium-sized, probably.
I
right?
don't know how you would define us size-wise. We serve about a 13,000 area population,
yeah.
So medium, I suppose.
Yeah,
yeah. You know.
Yeah, but the way I look at the breakoff is 10,000 or less, small.
Okay.
Anything bigger, up to the large, which would be the Lawrence, the Hutch, that's medium. The ones lower than that, and then the other guys, and then the urbans, of course,
right.
Are Topeka, Wichita, Johnson County, Kansas City, Kansas.
Well, I was talking to Dana from Talking Books. Joe, I don't know if you remember, I used to work at Talking Books.
Okay.
I'm at Independence Public.
Yes,
now.
Very
okay,
good.
Yeah. And she was really excited about the new Bard app.
The Bard is going to be cool.
That's
going to
be
cool.
Huge.
Yes.
That's going to be big because, I mean, we have patrons asking for something like that all the time. And now that app is finally launched, that's going to be very exciting.
Yeah.
Could you tell me more about that? Because I'm not familiar with it.
What it is it's a download service. Uh-huh. You know, all the audio, all the recorded books that the state library offers, for people who are unable to interface a traditional text for whatever reason, whether it's a blindness or just a visual impairment or just an inability to interact physically with the book. Yeah,
exactly.
I mean, we have some patrons who are arthritic and can't hold up a Tom Clancy book because the thing weighs 10 pounds.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, this is going to be huge for them.
You still got it.
I remember it all.
I
was well trained.
You were.
That's great. Thank you. That sounds really good. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be really great. It only works on iPhone, right? Right now.
So far, yeah.
It's not, it's not for everybody, but it's a step in the right direction.
I'm told there's an Android version in the works. There was some issues with a developer, and they had to kind of start from scratch.
Yeah, that's the feds for you. They're not shutting down.
Yeah.
Starting over.
We were talking with April about on-demand things. Is the state, I know we have no control over this, but the vendors that we work with, are they going to try to be more active with on-demand instead of the digital model being it's checked out, you still can't get it, or everybody can get it at any time. It doesn't matter because we're paying for the content.
If you look at Freeding, Freeding is really the on-demand.
Really like that.
And because we buy a bunch of tokens, we are still using the tokens from when we first bought them. So it is a fabulous service. It's reasonable. Everything in the catalog is available. There's no turnaways. There's no holds. Because if everybody in the state wanted to check out the same book, they would. They'd just use their tokens and do it. So I think that's the best model, is that we have access to the whole catalog instead of making – it's possible.
Right.
The publishers just don't want to do it. But if they made everything available, it'd make buku more bucks.
Well, it's like we were talking about – I don't know if you were in here at that point, Michael, or not, but I know Bob was – or Rob, sorry.
That's right.
And April was commenting about, you know, they want stuff then. They're not a reading society per se. They're more of an online society. And having it ready on demand is really what the new generation is looking at.
Oh, yeah.
And well, maybe that's being, you know, they might be needy. I don't know. But
but
that's the way it's turning.
Yeah. I was just talking to a group of older ladies. It was a church group, and they asked me to come and talk about things. And they were asking that same question.
Yeah.
How come sometimes I have to put it on hold because there's only one copy available, and sometimes I can get it whenever I want.
Right.
And I had to explain to them the situation, it's different.
Right.
Different
and
platforms.
They were kind of, well, why can't I just get it when I want it? And these were, you know, as old as I am, they could have been my mother. So, it's not just the teens that are asking that question. I think it's everybody. That doesn't really make sense to them.
Well, coming from a background where I've had to work with publishers and for publishers as much as I've, more than I've had to work in libraries, but all that resistance is coming, Joe's right, it's coming from the publisher side. Mm-hmm. They see that as... it's a loss of revenue instead of seeing it as a way to, I can hook this reader now, and I can keep this person the rest of their reading lifetime.
That's right.
Yeah, but they've had a very hard time making that adjustment, particularly in the comic book industry.
I think on the state databases, I know, I want to say his name was Eric, but I'm probably completely wrong. They were looking at graphic novels to be placed. I know Comixology does online graphic novels, but they were talking about Overdrive before we lost it, possibly getting some graphic novels on there. Is the Easy Library possibly looking into that too?
Yep.
Or
and if we can just get a platform for it, we'd buy anything. I mean, we want to buy anything that people want to read. I don't care what it is. But we just have to get it on a platform that your publisher is not afraid of. Because, actually, when we get on the self-publishing platform, it might actually be easier for you guys because we want to pay a fair price. It's just that we don't want to have people waiting to get to things.
Well, there are applications, particularly for graphic novels, that are dealt with by a lot of independent publishers and self-publishers.
Yes.
And maybe those applications, those platforms would be easier to negotiate with because each of those content creators could then negotiate individually.
Yeah.
That might be the way to go.
So who, Smashwords? Do they do that?
Actually, maybe we should have this conversation later.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, let's do it. Because I think this would be great for kids. Remember, we're trying to always fit our agenda into our mission, and his agenda is that he wants kids reading on grade level by fourth grade. So I think comic books are a great way to get kids.
Yeah, perfect. Terrific.
Does the
let's talk.
We'll have this conversation.
It's a date. We got a date here, right here on Comic Pop Library. April's, she's our music reviewer, and one of the things that our board is not supporting is the music collection. And does the Easy Library, I can't remember if it has a music collection or just strictly
ebooks. We had some music with Overdrive, but it was really not music people checked out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean. So we didn't even ask to transfer it over because it never checked out. So why waste your energy on getting
and
stuff that nobody wants?
Basically the same problem again. It's the music industry trying to, become a viable.
How about Freegle?
They have some music, but I'm not sure how much.
Yeah.
And I was just looking because I don't remember.
But I know, what's the app you have, April, that you download from?
For
your music.
I download the app iTube.
iTube?
iTube.
Oh.
I-T-U-B-E. It's basically it's an app where you can go in and.
Is it legit?
It is legit. Everyone has it. It's okay. Where it uses the YouTube's search engine. It uses YouTube's videos they have on there. And if you have Wi-Fi, you can look up a music video, YouTubers' videos, anything, and you can watch it. And while you're watching it, they have this orange line, which is the loading process, I guess. And once it gets all the way buffered to the end of it, it'll catch the song or the video, and you can watch that video anywhere. So, like, I have probably over 500 songs in different varieties on my iPad that I've caught over the, like, couple weeks I've had it. And now I can listen to, you know, like, on a road trip or anywhere. I really like it.
So I don't know if there's any companies out there trying to promote something like that and trying to get it done, whether it's music, video games, like we talked about earlier. They're starting to go more online type of avenues. So I didn't know how far we had progressed with the vendors that we're using. I wasn't sure. So some of the things, do you want to mention what's happening on state level? That's interesting, or you can pick and choose what you want to talk about.
Well, one of the things that we'd really like to do with the new RFP, and when we get either stay with Autographics or get a different vendor, is do some self-publishing to allow people. I think there are lots of people out there who are writing. And a couple weeks ago, I think Stephen King was on NPR, and he said, "We are lousy with talent. The United States, the world, is lousy with talent. It's just getting people to really kind of hone in on that and making it available to other people to read."
So. Okay. If I could jump in, take my ALA hat off and put on my Topeka and Shawnee County Public Library hat. This year was our second year to publish a community novel.
That's right.
And we coordinated it and wrote the general arch of the story so that people knew kind of approximately what was happening. The bones. And then both novels had 20 chapters, and so we got 20 authors to work with us from the community, and each person got a chapter, and the first chapter was written, and then it went to the second person who then wrote their chapter, and then both chapters went to the third person who then wrote their chapter.
A whirlwind.
That sounds like fun.
I want in on this.
It was exciting to do. It was relatively inexpensive. The major cost the first year was getting it printed, and we did that through the Amazon thing. And then the second year, we also did it as an ebook. And so we've got it available, and it's up available online, and you can get it on Overdrive. It's a really fun way to involve the community and the writers and do a self-publishing thing.
You should make it available statewide, guys.
Yeah.
Shame on you.
Yeah. It was just a fun thing to do, and these people, and we do a book signing on, we have a... Mm-hmm. Deal where everybody comes, and
I think
it's great fun.
Cool going through the different like flavors of writing because no author writes the same way from author to author, and I think that would be such a neat change because somebody who likes to read may not like reading Stephen King, but might like, I don't know, Nicholas Sparks or something. There's just different styles for different people.
I want to read the book those guys write together.
That
would be interesting.
I like them both.
I think that'd be cool. It's kind of like when you get those epic movies where they just throw every single big star they can into it some way, somehow. That'd be cool.
You know, there are existing things like, there are existing programs like the National Novel Writing Month that would be... you've already got these events around which you could build this self-publishing initiative. You know,
once we get it, what'd be fun to do is to get people from different libraries to take different chapters and do a statewide.
That'd be cool.
Connected.
That'd be a lot of chapters. That'd be a big book.
We could do multiple books. We have to do just one.
It could be a series.
Yeah. There we go. Would that be fun?
Harry Potter, watch out.
That's right.
Ooh. We got something going here.
I think that'd be fun.
And then we get the illustrators in there, and they can do plates. Exactly. They can do plates instead of.
Yeah. That's all I need. More to do.
Yeah. There was an hour or two left in your
day. That's right. That's right. I was using that for sleep, yeah, but who needs it?
Yeah, no, that's right. It's way overrated.
So what other fun things are happening there?
So next year, you know, somebody was mentioning that Kansas were famous for Wizard of Oz. And we started talking, and I said, wouldn't it be cool to have a Wizard of Oz Day where all the libraries do something with Wizard of Oz? And so we looked for Bob's birthday, which is May 15th. So we've got lots of time to plan, so think about it. May 15th, let's do something, and then we can get Library Journal to, once again, feature us with something cool that we're doing.
We could do Superman Day.
Yeah, that's what April said. She said, what about Superman Day? And I was like, well, he did get inducted into the Kansas Hall of Fame. So.
I was like, what day did he come to Earth?
Oh, Lord, I don't know.
Oh, okay. We've got to find out.
I can look that up, though.
It was June of 1938.
There you go.
I don't know that there is
a date.
I don't know what the specific publication date was, but the cover date was June of 1938.
This is one of the graphic novels we're going to be reviewing next time. So it's Oz done in a Western style.
That's neat.
So
it's definitely a different style of Wizard of Oz.
But yeah, it's the one of those we're trying to promote the smaller industry companies and trying to get them in. We had Star Wars Day at our library the other day.
We had this activity where we got the light switch. What are they called?
Light switch covers.
Oh, okay.
And we could paint them whatever you want. And I did C-3PO's chest plate.
Nice.
And I engraved it, and I put in all the wires. And it's
pretty neat, huh?
I'm just going to say it's like B-A. Like it looks good.
You can't talk like that to state librarians.
Superman was created by Jerry Siegel and artist Joe
Schuster.
Couple of boys from Cleveland.
Cleveland at Ohio, 1933. It was bought by DC Comics in 1938.
Right.
That did not give me a date.
So they didn't say when he came to Earth, really. So all the month of June we could do is Superman.
Superman month.
Superman month. That would be very cool. Yeah. It would be fun. Yeah.
But that's one of the things to have fun with the state and everything. And it's kind of nice to have some of the fun things along with the serious things.
Right.
So
that's right.
We got to do that.
Well, if we do Superman, I've got a granddaughter who will not nap anymore, and she ties her blanket around her neck, and she does super stuff in her crib. So
there you go.
I've got the super baby.
I think I spent all my time between the ages of 3 and 5 wearing a towel around
my
neck.
She does. Yeah. She has this thing, and she drapes it. Yeah. She is super. She's super Grover, but
okay. Hey,
we can
super,
that.
Super,
yeah.
Super,
yeah. Super, yeah. Yeah. You know? Super Grover. Anyway.
And how excited it. Exciting is it to see all these young adult books and books being adapted into the movie format, and graphic novels. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a cool. Lot of the, you know, graphic novels is starting to nudge the literary world, but just the books in general. Mm-hmm. I mean, this next 3 months, there's like 3 coming out.
Yeah, it's insane, and
like
they're gonna make $1 billion, and that's only gonna be good for the books, and that'll encourage more of the books,
exactly.
And that'll encourage more of the movies.
And though art class, we're reading Ender's Game, this year, and as the movie's coming out pretty soon here, and we're taking a class trip to go see it, and we did the same thing in sixth grade, mm-hmm. where. Every year we did a mythology theme, and so we read the Percy Jackson series, and that happened to be the year it came out. So we had this fun idea of having a class trip and just everyone going over and watching it.
Oh,
and everyone hated it.
They hated it
because
the
they read the book.
Yeah.
But
they read the book first.
Yes,
the book
yes,
is always better.
Yes. Yeah, the book is. Cause
but it was a good
head.
Day.
Yeah. So Ender's Game, I've got to read that now, too.
It's a really good. And I'm not the biggest fan of sci-fi
I am.
In general.
Yeah, so
I'm not.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I'm not.
But you liked it.
I really do.
So I love it, then.
I like more of the social aspects of sci-fi. I don't care about aliens.
Yeah.
But the social
Hunger Games.
Oh, Hunger Games is good.
So are you a Harrison Ford fan?
I do like Harrison Ford.
He's going to be in
Ender's
Game.
Really?
Okay.
And Chris, he actually reviewed it for the podcast as well.
Okay.
So that's how we know about it. In April. She was late to the game, but she got there.
I'm reading all of these. I'm like forcing myself to read these science fiction books after we recorded the review about them. Because I like classic books. I like all the classics.
Thank you.
And even though it's sci-fi, they're still classics, so I'm still going to force myself to read them because it's good for me. But I'm reading my vegetables.
There you go.
That's a great way to put it.
Yeah, I really love that. Yeah. That's good.
Is there anything else at the state level you want to mention?
No. One thing, though, that's serious is, of course, we keep taking cuts to the state library, which means you keep taking cuts to state aid. We've got to turn it around, not just for the state library, but also because we've got to start building up state aid again. This is probably not the time to be doing it, to make the ask, but this is the time to be preparing to make the ask. So talk to your legislators. Tell them how, and especially constituents. You guys, you're more important. You know, those of us who work in libraries, they think that, of course, you want us to increase state aid. Of course, you want more money. But when people who use the libraries talk about what it means to them, then they listen. And also because you're voters. That's the other thing.
I'm not.
Well, but you will be shortly. You won't be long before you are.
I was at a conference session just yesterday. It was about talking to city government.
Yes.
And you know, they said if you could get, you know, when you lobby the city government, they expect that.
That's right.
When your patrons lobby the city government, they have a much harder time telling a voter no. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. And especially we need people to start telling their stories why the library is important to them. Why do you go to the library? What do you get out of it? And how are you learning?
Yeah.
Because you're a lifelong learner.
Yeah.
You're going to learn for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
And we've been forced into the situation to adapt. With all the technology, we are actually losing readers. Or, you know, the new generation isn't reading as much. It's online. So
none of my classmates like to read. Yeah. There's like three of us in my whole class of almost 50 that read.
So how are they learning? That's what I want to know. How are they? How are we getting the stuff in their heads?
I don't know.
Oh,
I don't know. Usually we're not. I don't mean to bash on my class or my generation or anything, but it's true. I mean, just people don't do their homework. They don't read the material. We're lazy. We're a lazy generation, and it's definitely showing.
It's the access to technology to getting the on-demand entertainment when they want it.
Yep.
And it's the entertainment. So we have to educate them through entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and that's part of what we're adapting to. We're becoming more of a program library or trying to become one.
Yes.
That's why we did the Star Wars Day. You know, last year we had 10 people show up. And it was the first year for it to actually happen anywhere. And then this year
we
alternated it. We didn't do it on the Saturday. We actually did it on Monday and had it after school. And we had close to 30 people show up this year.
Good.
And that's why we're looking at, like I said, the Oz Day sounds great to me and the Superman Day because that's what's pulling them in right now. We're doing International Gaming Day in November here coming up just to pull them in and say we're still here. And we probably, not everybody checked anything out, but we leave one computer on because it's after hours.
Right.
And we had probably about a quarter of the people checked something out when they left. And so that's encouraging. You know, you'd like to see more, but we had some check out. It wasn't just they came for the event and left.
Right. Sure.
And that's been one of the hard things for us. And we've had to show the commissioners that, you know, yes, our numbers are down, but we're switching and pulling our budget to support the technology and digital age. And we're looking at putting this equipment in my office to support local entities. So if a health nurse, they can come over to my office, we can record a quick podcast of like, you know, flu shots are available. This is when you can come and who's eligible for it.
Good.
And, you know, if the city's going to be closing some streets, bring them in and say, you know, these dates, these streets are closed. So Chris is going to help us out with that and buying the technology in, because I admit I'm not very well versed in technology. If somebody sets it up, I can usually try to run with it. And I sometimes break it, sometimes I'm pretty good. So that's where we've had to make our adjustments. And it's been, you know, I'm more of the tactile person. I want the book, so it's a little bit hard. So
we do a tremendous amount of programming in Independence. I mean, a lot. Sometimes enough that we're exhausted. But it has been really good for keeping our numbers up.
Good.
We haven't had that number decline, and our city leaders see that. They see that, they recognize that, you know. So when we go to them and we say, hey, you know, we may need to make this construction modification, or we need to do this kind of renovation, the first thing they have to say to that room full of voters that are there seeing us do this is, you know, we respect the programming you guys do and what you bring to the community. So the more stuff you can do like that, the better, because it doesn't directly affect your patron population in the sense of a statistical, you know, measurable quantum, but you can absolutely derive benefit from that further down the line.
I think the more personable you make the idea of a library, and the more you humanize the library, the harder it is to cut something.
That's absolutely.
Yeah. Play to the emotions.
Definitely. How old is she? Yeah. She's smart.
And I think, you know, you're talking about that. We have a gaming day, I think, once a month, if I remember right. And they're just in a room, and they've got tables, and they bring in board games and that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And then it's not even the technology games. Right. And there's little kids in there to grandpa's type age. And they come back, and, you know, we've got librarians in there and playing the games with them and stuff, and they talk about, you know, we've got books about how to get better at this game and videos about this and all that kind of thing. And I don't know whether they check a whole lot out, but they're back every month, and if for some reason they can't do it, they let us know about it. So it's a different way of thinking than it used to be.
And we're trying a new thing this year. I don't know how well it will go over, but my son's into the trading card game. And a lot of those, maybe not the Pokemon, but the Yu-Gi-Ohs, the stuff like that.
Magic the Gathering. Yeah.
There's a lot of reading on those cards that you have to do and decipher.
So
we're going to try to set up a corner for just the trading card games and see if people will come in and maybe that can take hold. So
when there's a lot of problem solving.
Yeah, I would say a lot of strategy and problem solving. We had a video game design workshop at our library. We had some developers come from New York, but the fascinating thing was during the first half of this workshop, they didn't touch computers. They had bits and pieces out on the table. They had dice. They had rubber bands. They had Post-it notes. Mm-hmm. They had little tokens, and it was talking about game theory.
Yes.
And it was all that problem solving and that spatial reasoning, and they had to develop these games on the tabletop and understand that collaborative experience of the game before they even got into the computer thing. And as librarians, we're all standing around just grinning ear to ear because, we can use this. Yes. This is good for us.
So we should get a Superman game.
Yeah.
We should do a Superman game. Seriously, with your expertise from that
I don't know if I have any friends left at DC Comics, you know, but
trademark kind of gets in the way. We'll do.
I would like
to release it during the Superman month.
That would be neat. That would be neat. Yeah.
And all the money would go to libraries.
There you go.
there's a lot of cool stuff like that that you can do, and it's convincing the funders that there's other ways of reading, like you said, reading on those cards and the thinking and the problem solving and the strategizing that they learn to do. We watch that just even playing computer games and stuff. The kids will be running back and forth from terminals to each other.
I think
because they're interacting and planning stuff. It's
the faster pace you have, the easier they will. Because we read every day, no matter what. But I think the idea of sitting down and actually stopping to read, it's boring. Yeah. It's so slow. Yeah. And so the faster the pace is, even if it's just reading instructions, going to station to station, that's still involving them and getting them into the reading aspect.
Well, it's the same thing we've been looking at in terms of learning in general. You have to reach those different learning modalities, you know, and this generation has a different modality. They're going way faster than we did.
And you said entertainment, so education and entertainment and education.
They have to combine.
There's a...
And PBS knew this long ago. Sesame Street and all the shows that are out there now, so...
That's really smart.
There's a sixth grade teacher, I don't know who it is, I don't know, but it's hard to grab a sixth grader's attention on anything. And he teaches science, though that's a bit harder to teach just in general. And he took modern songs that they know in a heartbeat, like Jason Derulo or, you know, P. Diddy, just modern names. And he took the song and he changed the lyrics to fit what he was teaching. Like, he taught about the biomes and succession, and he fit it to what he was teaching. And I can see why it works, because fun.
Yeah.
Well, and you remember those songs.
Yeah, you do.
My wife used to teach German, and a lot of the stuff they learned was songs.
Yeah.
And she sees kids now that she had 25, 30 years ago. They don't remember the language, but they can still sing the songs.
Yep. You know,
exactly. Yeah.
True. So, Michael, we haven't talked much about your endeavors, you and Matt. I know we've talked a little bit about it on one of the podcasts we're going to be releasing with you, but
that's right.
You want to mention it again? You've been working with education and
one of your
books.
I have. In fact, I was telling somebody earlier today, I have friends from the comic book industry that say, "Where did you go?" And I said, "I didn't go anywhere.
Thank you, Joe, for copping in.
I've just been doing educational comics for the last several years." And you know, the mainstream comic book industry doesn't generate those anymore. They used to, but they don't anymore. So, it's with the exception of the occasional odd thing like Hell Dorado or Hooligan, I haven't really been doing anything for the mainstream market. So it's been mostly educational stuff. And the big thing that I'm debuting at KLA this year is that graphic novel collection development book, which it started out as a handout for the presentation I'm doing tomorrow. And then it occurred to me, well, what good's a handout without the presentation? And what good's a PowerPoint without the presentation, without the handout? I'll just write a book, because that's how my brain works. So
why don't we just make it really easy and write a book?
So that way anyone who's not there can just read the book. And anyone who is there who has a really crappy memory can then go home and just read the book. And because I'm also a cartoonist, I couldn't not illustrate the thing. So, my graphic novel collection development book has been kind of my dominant project for the last couple of months, because I had to get it ready for conference. But I'm really happy with it. And there are a lot of people who have huge questions when it comes to graphic novels. They don't know where to start. They don't know, you know, what does my collection need? How am I going to reach the audience? How do I start my collection? How do I keep my collection going? How come my collection was good at one point and now it's not circulating? And, you know, so I've got answers for all these things. Now, I mean, they're answers that, you know, they fit within my experience. It's only just a few libraries and the librarians that I know and talk to on this sort of thing regularly.
Right.
But it's a system that has worked very well for myself and very well for people who have used it in part. So the idea was to then just deliver this book, you know, part and parcel. You know, the whole thing is there. And and then just give it away, because I've seen a lot of books done on graphic novel collection development that I thought they were kind of overpriced.
Right.
And the nature of the content is such that it is dated almost the second it rolls off the press.
True.
So why do you have to pay for it? And so we're going to, you know, the print copies are here at the conference, and we're also going to be putting it on the IPL website.
Okay.
So, which, you know, www.iplks.org.
And so, get a hold of your friends and have them help support you too.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's. I'm really hoping. I feel good about this one. It's the last time I was this excited about a book was actually when we did Library of the Living Dead, and that went pretty well. You know, two million downloads later, I can say that was a success. So yeah, I'm feeling pretty good about this one.
And just a brief mention, you and Matt and other individuals later to be determined are working on something with the University of Chicago.
Yeah, we ended up the natural outgrowth of these instructional library comics that, you know, we've been doing since 2010. The natural outgrowth of those was to do a full-blown textbook. And I'm not going to be able to illustrate it. Like I said, I've been spending the last several years of my art career on that, and if I never draw another bookcase in my life, I'll be absolutely delighted. I mean, I love my library as much as I like my drawing board, but yeah, I'm ready to be. That's just not for me anymore. The nice thing about that though is that we've already written the book,
right.
So you know, at this point in time, it's just finding the right artist to get the job done. And, you know, Matt's been working with me a long time. He knows everything he needs to know to find the person who's going to get that job done well.
Okay. And we're hopefully, in a future date, get back in touch with you and expand on that and
the
graphic novel collection in general, just as a mini pop,
yep,
and do a
yep.
full-blown discussion on it.
Yeah. And, well, the book for the University of Chicago, it's a big deal because, I mean, for one, it's the University of Chicago Press.
Right.
I mean, and it's... You know, there have been graphic novel textbooks or you know, instructional graphic novels before, but not on this scale, and certainly not on the topic of information literacy.
Right.
Which is one of those things that people are only real outside of our discipline, people are only really now starting to realize its usefulness. So yeah, the timing is terrific. So yeah, the book's going to be a big deal. I wish I had the wherewithal to sit there for a year at my drawing board and draw nothing but that book. But yeah, the scale is just beyond my ability to produce at this point.
And is it just kind of an outline of how professors can start teaching it, or
basically? And it's also designed so that each chapter can be used individually. Okay. So you know, if it's going to be very economically priced. You know, I can't comfortably say what it's going to cost. I mean, so I know in the future
you don't know what's going to happen.
I know what we've discussed with the University of Chicago, and it's going to be cheap. You know, especially compared to what you're used to paying for that kind of instructional text. But it's going to be inexpensive so that anybody can use it. But yeah, it's how to develop a research plan. It's how to use search tools.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's the instructional comics that we've done time and time again, just blown up and then in much greater detail.
Do you take the more mass market comics and show how they can be used as teaching tools as well? One I'm thinking of off the top of my head is what I always use in one of my talks is the Justice League Tower of Babel,
mm-hmm.
where everybody's taken out because Batman's figured out a way to do it.
Right.
You know, and it's like, you know, every government has that plan somewhere, some way. So, you know, if we decide England's no longer our ally, okay, what's the best way to do this? So it's like, you know, do you try to look at mainstream stuff, or
you know, that's
just kind of all over? Or it's just really, in general.
I mean, that's just really outside the scope of the book. I mean, it's the sort of thing that it's when I lecture on this subject. You know, we do talk about, you know, how comics are useful for approaching and then couching complex issues, and they have been since really the advent of lithography made the American political cartoon a standard in American political discourse. I mean, we've been dissecting incredibly complex issues in comics since, what was that, 1827? And it's sad that I know that. But yeah, I think it's 1827. That's something we've been doing for a long time, but it's outside the scope of this work. This work is really about information literacy, research, and taking a student who... it's the same motivation that caused us to start doing the library comics in the first place. We would have students, at that time I was at an academic library working for Matt.
Right.
And we'd have students come in who had not grown up in libraries the way Matt and I had grown up in libraries, which threw both of us because we're actually from different generations. And so that threw us, and we decided this comic book was a great way to reach them. So to give them those instructional tools that they did not have from experience. And that's what we're doing with this book for the University of Chicago. It's just on a much grander scale.
Okay. And we have Sue just joined us from Focal, Friends of Kansas Libraries. And she was honored earlier today as one of the Kansas Advocates Awards. So congratulations,
Congrats.
Sue.
Thank you so much.
That was a well-deserved award.
Thank you. Very
worked
much.
Hard.
So this is... one of the friends I was kind of mentioning you could utilize possibly to advocate for you.
You've been at my library.
I have. I did a signing at your library.
And Matt is a member of our Friends of the Library.
That's right.
And we're happy to have you in town. That's
I'm actually not there anymore.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm at Independence
your
Public now.
Your heart is
now.
In Emporia. That,
well, my heart is carved up all over Kansas.
There you go.
Close enough.
Safe.
Yes. That was a pretty good answer.
Save.
Yeah, that was a good answer for making it up on the fly.
That was so political.
You might consider the diplomatic.
Yes.
Want to get out of libraries.
What's happening with the Friends group here lately, Sue? I know you've been busy with the new year and everything.
Friends of Kansas Libraries is doing great. We're so pleased to be in touch with so many libraries who have friends groups. Right now, I think 76 friends groups are members. I think there are about 119 libraries with friends groups in Kansas. So we have a challenge to get every friends group as a member, and we can do that. And one of our greatest assets is our program of awards and grants. And last spring, we gave away $2,700 to friends groups all over the state to use for their libraries. It was a matching grant program. We had many more applications than the money to give away. So we are looking to enlarge our membership and grow our membership, because the membership dues help
pay for the grants that we give out. And we'd love to have lots of librarians and people who support libraries to join us. $15 for an individual membership, pretty reasonable. And we have a booth here at the conference. However, we're taking it down at 5:30 today. So,
well, you also have the tags and
we have license tags to sell. $5 that say libraries. Yes, we have tote bags. Those are all available through our website. We do post.
They are available now. Okay.
We have pictures posted there, and we'll take orders and ship them by courier to libraries. Our license tags are pretty popular for, say, a library director to give as gifts to their trustees or their staff. We can send quantities if you like, and if you're on the courier, then it's free shipping. It's great.
What's that site's address?
www.focal.net.
.net. So be sure about that difference. .net.
You'll find us if you Google Friends of Kansas Libraries. So.
Are those the white license plates?
Yes, white.
Okay, I've got one of those.
Great. blue and green.
I've got that. Yeah.
Blue and green on white.
Maybe if you can't do a full membership, that might be an avenue. Yeah.
$5. Well. That helps us too. Okay. Every dollar helps.
And one of the more, then you're on Facebook. Chris is over here being
Focal
quiet.
Is on Facebook. We have, as of the other day, 377 members are following us on Facebook, and that's a great way to keep in touch. We do a great newsletter. That is also posted on our website. And while we'd like everybody to be a member and pay dues, because that helps us, our information is free. We give it away. And so our website is the best place to start to learn how to start a friends group, how to rejuvenate it, what have other libraries done, what have their friends groups done, fundraising ideas, book sale ideas. So, and we have board members from each of the 7 regional library systems and members at large on our board. And so we will come to you if that is something you'd like. Speak to your friends group. We help rejuvenate friends. Sadly, sometimes we have to help dissolve friends. That's not a fun job, but sometimes it happens. And but we want to be the go-to place for questions and answers for friends of library groups.
And one of the unique things with the friends, I was on the board briefly until this took over my life.
You had other interests.
So one of the unique things I kind of enjoyed was the friends group met within different libraries that had a friends group. So if you're a library that has a friends group, you might want to get in touch with Sue or some of your local representative, and maybe if you're interested in hosting a meeting, I think you're pretty much open to that.
Our next we meet quarterly as a whole board, and some of those quarterly meetings are outside, out in the Kansas world. And then monthly we meet online through online conferencing, through Collaborate, and works great. And we have up to 18, 20 people on at once, and we're all talking, but we're all very polite. And some just chat and listen, but we can get a lot done without traveling. And so if anyone is interested in being a board member, we do have some vacancies. And you can be a layperson, a member of a friends group, or a library staff person, or any kind of affiliation, as long as you support libraries and want to see them succeed. So someone out there might be interested in helping our cause.
And since we have a teenager here, is there a possibility that teenagers could serve if they were interested? Or is there guidelines that they need to be
a specific
age?
There are no guidelines for that. Our online meetings are during the day. That would be maybe difficult with the school schedule. And but certainly we would love to have ideas about maybe there's an idea for a junior friends group somewhere or a teen friends group or how your teens can help your regular friends group. You know, if there's a way to have them as volunteers within and supporting local. That. I know we have students helping at our book sale, Move Books for Emporia Public Library's book sale, and they do a great job. Fraternities and high schoolers and sororities, and it's great.
Looks like Michael's ready to head out.
I have to duck out. I have places to be, but it's been wonderful. Thank you all for having me. Mm-hmm.
Thank you for coming, Michael. Appreciate it.
No, I think having teenagers, or maybe just a representative of a teenager, is really smart to have on a board, on just the general board, because nobody, adults don't know what teenagers like. Yes, you have the idea, you know, the idea, but we're changing so much that it's hard to keep track of what actually keeps our interest. And even though we're not seen as adults, we still have a point of view. We still have an opinion in things. And I feel like with school and just with anything really that tries to control teenagers, we don't like. We obviously try to rebel against it because we're at that point in time where we're not kids anymore. And so we want to start being recognized. We want to start being asked what we think, because it affects us too. And so I think having that opinion and making sure that we feel like we're included would really, really help.
At Emporia, we're very pleased to have a teen advisory board.
That's good.
And that's nice. And more we're pulling those teens to do some volunteer things. Mm-hmm. And I know they are going to be helping with the book sale. So there's a little tie-in. Mm-hmm. And getting teens comfortable in the library is great. I know you were talking about that before. Mm-hmm. And there are different ways to do that. Mm-hmm. But having some job that you can help with is a good start.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the thing that sparked that idea was because, if I remember right, there's somewhere in Kansas where a 17 or 18-year-old actually got on the city council, if I remember right. So that was why I was wondering.
I'm not sure where that was.
Yeah, I remember hearing about it.
Brian Weber was pretty young when he got on our city commission. I don't know if you remember him, but he is now working under, I think, the governor. But I do know he's not doing it currently, actually. He did move on to different things. But he was fairly young when he got onto our commission.
Okay.
He was in his early 20s.
Which is kind of unusual, too. So.
But it's a fresh outlook.
Kids are looking to get into politics sooner. Yeah. So.
We're like Sue. We've got a teen advisory board that works with our teen librarian, and they're really active, and it's a great addition. And our friends have had, as schedules have allowed, some of those folks have been members of the Friends Board, which has been really nice. And they've both sides have enjoyed that because it's a good relationship.
And
they've even been part of we have an advocacy board that our Board of Trustees started that has members from the Board of Trustees, from the Foundation Board, from the Friends Board, and from the Teen Advisory Board. So that's a really nice mixing of folks to get a lot of viewpoints, and they've been really active. Unfortunately, all the ones that were on have graduated and gone on to college in other places. So we're trying to recruit some new members, but it was a really nice thing to have all of those viewpoints.
Another thing that might be useful is the teens' technological skills that many Friends boards are middle-aged or older. And having someone who could enlighten us in the new ways of communication and social media and stuff, whole different world out there, that we need some bridges.
Yeah.
Big bridges.
I'm going to take off, too. It's been great talking to you. Thanks for having me here. Yeah, it's been a lot of fun, and enjoyed spending the extra time.
Yes, well, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure.
We'll enjoy the rest of the conference.
You, too.
All right. Okay.
Are we over?
Well, I don't know. I think we're still here. technically, yes. Okay. We're supposed to be. But was there anything else, Sue, that's going on with the Friends that's kind of happening? I know conference is a big time for you. Is there any other times of the year where you try to, or are you looking at possibly trying to do a gathering for Friends across the state to try to do an annual
event?
We've
talked about a conference in perhaps two different areas of the state to make travel a little easier. That has not come to fruition, but we are interested in it. People are willing or think they're willing to come and devote a part of a Saturday, say, to a Friends convention. We think it would be really fun. But an exciting thing now for Kansas Libraries is the new subscription to United for Libraries, which is part of the American Library Association, ALA. So the State Library and Focal and KLTA, the Library Trustee Association, have partnered together for funding, with most of it coming from the State Library, to pay a year's subscription for every Kansas library to this a national group which fosters communication and ideas for friends, foundations, trustees, and advocates. And there's a trustee academy, and there's a big friends component. There's a friends, national friends discussion list. So you can post questions on there, you know, how do you sell books online to make money for your library, or what happens when you have this funding or this treasury problem, you know, that something's wrong with the finances, or how do we reconcile when the library doesn't want the friends anymore, or whatever it is. You can post that on and get some national responses from people all over the country helping you solve that problem. And your problem probably isn't unique. Someone's encountered something like that before and can give advice. And maybe the advice isn't applicable to you. But to hear and to read all the responses, people helping each other, that's what libraries do, is share. That's our whole goal. We don't hold anything back. We share everything, every idea. Nothing is proprietary. And same with the Friends of the Library. We want people to find out how others have done it. Don't invent the wheel. So this new service, United for Libraries, you'll be hearing more about it, and a webinar is coming up later in October that people can connect to, and then it will be archived for later use as well. That will give some lowdown on what's available. It is a benefit that you don't have to pay for. You want to make use of this. It's just like we tell all of our people in our towns, the library is there. It's free. And this United for Libraries is the same thing. It's being given to you. Take advantage of it.
True.
I thought I heard one of the keynote speakers say it's only a benefit if you use it.
Yes. Yep. So that's right. I couldn't remember the exact wording, but that was it.
And one of the things with the Friends, it's a unique group. You have, like you said, you're pulling from all avenues of life. So getting together, I think, hopefully that will work for you. And because to me, the conferences like this are where you get to see people. And I don't know why, but for me, maybe not for the next generation, because they're so used to the technology, I still like the interaction.
There's nothing like the personal networking that you can do at a conference like this.
And this is about as technology driven as I get, and we're kind of stepping out there and putting my toes out there, so hopefully they won't get lopped off one of these days, but they might. Who knows? But we're enjoying it, and I know when you do meet up, everybody's having fun at the Friends group, so they do enjoy, and they have a blast here at the conference too. I know that you guys put together a booth every year.
Yes.
And that also comes out from their general coffers, and so anything that anybody can do, it's greatly appreciated for the Friends. Anything else that you have online, or is that pretty much it for this year? You're waiting for the next year to come along?
January 1st, we'll start a new year. And,
January? Okay.
Carolyn Little will be our new president, and Judy Burgess will be our vice president.
How'd you do that?
Oh, well, I've been president long enough. I'm staying on the board, though, in another role, like stepping back a little. But that's a good thing to have new leadership and new perspectives, just like the teens.
Yeah.
You need to bring new ideas in. So we're happy to focus that way.
I won't take you too long because I know they're starting to – I don't know if they're doing the baskets now or not, but I know they're probably getting ready for that. If you have any tickets, I know I have some. I don't know if they'll keep them for you or not, but I guess I will.
Someone will pick up your basket for you.
Okay.
And then, but depending on whether they give it to you,
really?
Is the question.
True. With the Emporia Public Library, are you involved with the Allen White? I know that's more the college,
William Allen White?
But
Yes. Do you last get involved weekend with that was too? The William Allen White Children's Book Award celebration. The Emporia Public Library is quite active in making the celebration day happen. And my staff and I have responsibilities. We helped plan all the children's activities. Okay. We met with the authors. That was a very nice special thing. Dinner Friday night, and then on Saturday about 500 kids and adults came to Emporia State University to celebrate Peg wow. Carrot and Patrick Jennings for their winning books. And the authors were there autographing, and then there's a ceremony, there's a reading parade, we give a school spirit award, there's a sleepover Friday night for those who come quite far and at the rec center. It's a really nice way to celebrate reading for grades 3 through 8.
Okay, I didn't know if the public library was involved.
We're
that
a partner.
Much or not.
We're a partner know. In a lot of things.
Okay, wasn't sure. All right, we'll take a quick break and go to part 3 after this. But before we do that, we'd like to thank G&G Auto Sales of Dodge City. They provided the vehicles for us to come up here, loading up all of our podcasting equipment. If you can visit them at buyggautos.com. They have several tabs up front on their webpage. One of them is a special deals tab. You can see, click into that and see what their current deals are. You might see something that might pique your interest. So visit their site, buyggautos.com.
South Motors, George Nielsen, side by side on South Second.
Well, here's the choice. It's the choice I never made. All because, just because I was afraid. Here's the chance and here's the time I never took. Along with the song was the choice and the chance and the time and of course the book.
Thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. We welcome your comments and suggestions by emailing us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. All emails submitted become the property of Comic Pop Library and are subject for use in our show. We would also appreciate it if you would spread the word about Comic Pop Library by posting about us on Twitter, Facebook, or just tell someone about us. This podcast is not endorsed by any publisher, distributor, or studio, and it is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The views and comments of the show hosts are their own and are not reflective in any business, entity, or organization associated with ComicPopLibrary.com.